This week's parsha is Parshas Miketz. The parsha starts with Paroi having two dreams. One, he dreams that there is seven fat cows, and then seven skinny cows eat the seven fat cows. Then he dreams about seven very full, ripe ears of grain and seven wind-scorched ears of grain eating the seven full ears of grain. He doesn't know how to interpret the dream. The Saramashke, the wine steward, remembers that Yosef interpreted his dream. Yosef is brought up from the pit, and he interprets the dream to Paroi. He tells Paroi that seven cows and seven ears are all 7 years, and we're going to have a plenty of 7 years. After this plenty of 7 years is going to come a hunger of 7 years, and the hunger is going to be so severe that during the 7 years of hunger, all the plenty will be forgotten. Yosef tells Paroi that the plenty years are imminent, they just started. Therefore, Paroi should make sure to save up, to tax the people during the plenty years in order to collect food for the seven famine years. Paroi raises Yosef's status from slave to a viceroy, that he has become Mishnah LeMelech. He is in charge of all of Egypt. Only the throne is above him. And the pasuk relates to you how Yosef was 30 years old when he stood in front of Paroi, when he was entrusted the job to make sure that the tax is done and the food is put away. And also the pasuk tells you that Paroi gave Yosef as a wife Osnas bas Potiphera koyenoin. Osnas, the daughter of Potiphera, the priest of Oin, or the chief of On, will start in chapter 41, pasuk number 50, where the pasuk says, Ule Yosef yulat shnei vanim. To Yosef was born two sons, beterem tavoy shnas harav, before the famine years have begun, arsha yoldeloi, that was born to him, Osnas bas Potiphera, Osnas, the daughter of Potiphera, koyen hoin, the priest of Oin, the chief of Oin. Basically, the pasuk is telling you that before the hunger set in, Yosef had two children. Sefer Levusha Oira says that Rashi is bothered by the question, why does the Torah have to tell me that it happened before the onset of the hunger? It should have told Yosef, Yoilat Shnei Banim, Yosef had two children, who cares when the children were born? So Rashi brings down from the Gemara in Tainis, Daf Yud Alef Omed Alef, 11a. The Gemara there says, Omar Rishlokish. Rishlokish says, Osur le'odom le'shamesh mitosoi b'shnei ravoin, that a person is forbidden to engage in marital relations in the years of famine. In other words, since the world is going to be in pain because the world is suffering from famine, you are not entitled to have pleasure, so therefore you're not allowed to have marital relations. Shenemar, because it's written the pasuk and brings down our pasuk, Ule Yosef yulat shnei banim, beterem tavoy shnei orav, that Yosef had two children before the hunger years set in. The Gemara says that that's why the Torah writes down clearly that it was before the hunger set in, that the Torah is telling you that it's forbidden to have relations once the hunger starts. Tosfos asks a question. The Gemara in Soite, Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, 12a, asks a question about the pasuk regarding Bereishis, chapter 46, pasuk number 8 through 27. In pasuk number 15, there it says that all the children of Leah were Shloishim Veshalosh 33. If you count individually all the people that are listed on those psukim, you end up only with 32. So we're missing one person there. And the same thing happens if you start counting all the people together. On pasuk number 26, there it says, all the souls that came down from Egypt besides Yaakov's wives, all the souls were 66. And Yosef was in Egypt. Yosef, his two children, his wife, you add four people, so from 66 plus 4 is 70. But if you count individually all the people, you're only going to find out that there are 69 people. The Gemara is bothered by this discrepancy, and Rav Chama bar Chanina wants to resolve this discrepancy by saying that you have to see exactly what the Torah means. The Torah is saying that 69 people left Canaan to go down to Egypt, but 70 people actually came in to Egypt. How is that possible? So he explains that this is referring to Yocheved. Yocheved's mom, Levi's wife, was pregnant with Yocheved during the coming down journey to Egypt, and she was actually born right by the gate. So 70 people came to Egypt, but only 69 people left Canaan. In other words, the list given is only for the people that left Canaan, that left Eretz Israel to go down, but coming into Egypt, there was one more extra person because that person was born right by the gate. And he brings a proof from the Pasuk in Bamidbar, chapter 26, Pasuk 59. There it's listed the children of Levi, and there it starts that this is the name of Amram's wife, which was Yocheved, the daughter of Levi, Asher Yolda Oysa LeLevi BeMitzrayim, that was born to Levi in Egypt. So he learns that Leidasa BeMitzrayim, that only the birth was in Egypt, Vein Hoirasa BeMitzrayim, but the pregnancy was not in Egypt, she was pregnant from before, when she came down from Canaan, when she came down for Israel to go to Egypt, she was already pregnant. So therefore you only find 69 people leaving Canaan, but actually 70 souls coming into Egypt, and Yocheved for some reason is not mentioned. Just as a side note, which has nothing to do with our shir, on that pasuk, Asher Yolda Oysa Levi, that was born to Levi, the Dazakenim Baal Toysa says that the word Oysa is superfluous, and he explains that the name of Levi's wife was Oysa. Her name was really Oysa. Therefore it says, Asher Yolda Oysa LeLevi, that Yocheved was the daughter that Oysa gave to Levi. That Yocheved's mom's name was Oysa. But that is only a trivia question. But going back to what Tosfos says, Tosfos mentions from the Gemara that we see in Soita that Yocheved was born right when the children of Yaakov came down to Mitzrayim, since she was born right at the gates. For her to be able to be born right at the gates, the pregnancy had to happen 7 months before or 9 months before. That creates a problem, asks Tosfos, because the Pasuk clearly says on chapter 45, Pasuk number 6, there it says, Kizesh nosai morav bekerev oretz, it's already 2 years of hunger in the land. Vo'oit chamesh shanim asher ein chorish v'kotzi. There's another 5 years that you cannot plow and harvest. In other words, Yosef is telling the brothers, please come down to Egypt, because 2 years only have gone from the famine, and we have another 5 years to go. If it's 2 years of famine, that means that Levi had relationship after a year and a half of the famine. Now the question Tosfos asks is, if we just mentioned from the Pasuk that it's prohibited for a person to have relationship with his wife during hunger years, during the years of hunger, how can it be that Levi had relationship with his wife during the hunger years, since we know that Yocheved was born by the gates? In order for it to be born by the gates, you had to have a relationship before, and this happened to be the second year of hunger. Then obviously she became pregnant after a year of hunger, and if it's a strict prohibition that you're not allowed to have a relationship during the hunger years, how is it possible that Levi did not follow that commandment, did not follow that rule? Tosfos answers that what Rish Lakish says, that a person is not allowed to have relations during the famine year, is not a universal prohibition, meaning that you are not actually transgressing anything by it. The Torah is just giving you advice how to behave. The Torah is telling you that it is a good thing, it is a proper thing when the world is in pain, that you should refrain yourself from doing pleasure. And that is a Midas Hasidus. It's a way a pious person, a person that cares about everybody else, that's the way a person should behave. But not that if you do not behave this way, you are considered like you transgressed or sinned something. Therefore, Tosfos says, Yosef wanted to behave himself piously, therefore he didn't have relations during the famine year, he only had his children before the famine year. But Levi didn't care about the Midas Hasidus, he didn't care to be called himself pious, therefore Levi had relations during the famine year. The Shagas Arye in Sefer Gevuras Ari asks a question that from this comes out that when it's written Asur LaAdam LeShamash Mitosoi, that's prohibited for a person to have relations, the language is really not Asur, it's really an advice, because it's really no prohibition according to Tosfos to have relations during a famine year. Then Shagas Arye asks, we never saw that when it's called Amidas Hasidus, when it's something that's called pious, that the Gemara should refer itself with the language of Asur, that you are prohibited. If the Torah wants to give you advice, the Torah should have said, Noel Odom is good for a person not to have relationship. Of Toiv Odom, Shalo Yishamash Mitosoi, it will be good for a person not to have relations. When you write the word Asur, obviously Asur means prohibited. And according to Tosfos, there is no prohibition, it's only a Midas Hasidus, only if you want to act in a pious way, that's the way you should behave. The Ritva in Megillah, Daf Kof Ches Amud Aleph, argues just the opposite of the Shagas Arye, and he says that not always when it's written the word Asur is prohibited, it's actually prohibited that you transgress something if you do it. A lot of times it's written the word Asur as telling you advice, and he gives a couple proofs to that. One proof he brings from the Gemara in Sanhedrin of Samach Gimel Medalev, which is 63b. There the Gemara says, the Omar Avu de Shmuel, the father of Shmuel, said, Asur le Adam sheyase shutfus im oivet kochavim. A person is prohibited from having a partnership with an idol worshipper. Shemo yischayev lo yishvua, because I'm afraid that the idol worshipper is going to have to swear to you that he didn't do something wrong. Finishba b'avoides kochavim shaloi, and he'll end up swearing in his own idol. In other words, that if you're going to have a disagreement with your partner, and you are partner with an idol worshipper, then we are afraid that that idolater is going to come and going to swear in the name of his idol. And what's the problem if your partner swears on the idol, you are not swearing on the idol? The problem is that the Pasuk in Shmos chapter 23, Pasuk number 13, says there, V'shem Elohim Acherim lo yisazkiru, you should not mention the name of gods of others, in other words, of idols. And also the Pasuk continues, lo yishama al picha, you should not be the cause that the name of idols are mentioned. So if you become a partner with a non-Jew and he swears on the idol, you become the cause that the idol's name was mentioned, you are going to transgress that Pasuk. The Ritva says that even though it's written in the language Asur that it is prohibited to have a partner idolater, we know that it doesn't mean really it's prohibited. It is just Midas Hasidus, that if you have a partner idolater, you haven't transgressed any rabbinic law or any biblical law. Yes, if he swears, then you transgress. But by you just having a partner, you haven't transgressed anything yet. Yet, the Gemara calls it in the language Asur, that is prohibited for you to have a partner. So you see that even though it's written Asur, it's written prohibited, it means it's advisable not to have a partner because the consequences may come out to it. And Sefer Beis HaOitzer, Chelik Aleph, Klal Kof Pei Tes, brings a proof from the Gemara in Brachas, Daf Lamet Aleph Amud Aleph. There the Gemara says, Omar Rabbi Yochanan Mishnei Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai, Rabbi Yochanan says in the name of Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai, Asur LaAdam Sheimales Choyk Pif Bo'elam Hazeh, a person is forbidden to fill his mouth with laughter in this world, Shenemar, it's written on Tehillim, chapter 126, pasuk number 2. Ozi moles choikpinu, ulshoneinu rina. Then, when Hashem will build the third Beis HaMikdash, or when Hashem will reveal Himself the time of Mashiach, then, and only then, are we allowed to fill our mouth with laughter, which means until then, we are not allowed, we are forbidden to fill our mouth with laughter. And the Gemara continues there and says that Omru Olof Arish Lakish, they said Arish Lakish, Shemeyomov Loimolas Chokpiv, that he never filled his mouth with laughter, Michishomam Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi. After he heard what Rabbi Yochanan says in Nevo Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai, he never again filled his mouth with laughter. So Beisa Oise brings a proof that since we saying that Rish Lakish was such a great man that he followed what Rabbi Yochanan said, obviously what Rabbi Yochanan said must have not been halacha, must have not been a clear prohibition. Because if it's a clear prohibition, what's the big deal that Rish Lakish did not transgress a prohibition? Obviously he's not allowed to transgress a prohibition. Yet, since the Gemara praises Rish Lakish for doing what Rabbi Yochanan told them, obviously it's something that is voluntary, something that you should do if you are a pious person. But if you don't do it, you haven't transgressed anything. So we see clearly that it is possible to have the language of Asur that's prohibited, even though it's an advice. So to hear what Tosfos says, that it's written Asur l'adam sheshamash mitasa, that a person is prohibited from having relationship during hunger years, doesn't mean necessarily prohibited. It could mean an advice that it's a pious thing to do, it's a proper thing to do, not to have relationship during hunger years. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh has a hard time if Tosfos answer. The Or HaChaim says that according to Tosfos comes out that Yosef had Midas Chasidus, Yosef acted in a proper way, that he did not have relations during the famine year, and Levi did not have Midas Chasidus, he did not act in a proper way, he did not act in a pious way. He asks a question that if you take a look on Parshas Vayisa Brocha, where Moshe Rabbeinu is blessing each tribe, and Moshe Rabbeinu is saying the characteristic of each tribe, on tribe of Levi, on chapter 33, pasuk number 8, says there, O Levi Omar, to Levi he says, Tumecho veurecho leish chasidecho, that your tumim yeurim, referring to the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol, is befit to you because you are devout. So we see clearly that Levi, out of all tribes, is the only one that's described as devout, as a chassid. And according to Tosfos, Levi did not act in a devout way, did not act in Midas Chassidus, even though it's referring to the tribe of Levi, to the children of Levi, and not Levi himself. Maybe Levi himself was not a chassid, but his children were chassidim, were pious. But Or HaChaim says we know that the leaves do not fall far from the tree, that leaves are part of the tree, and if the tree itself would not be devout, then obviously the leaves could not be devout. Like we say the saying in America, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Therefore, he says that if the children of Levi were considered Hasidim, obviously Levi himself was also considered a Hasid. And how can you say that Levi did not act piously? Specifically, Levi is the only one called Chasidecho, called pious, in the Torah. So how can the Tosfos say that Levi did not act in the proper way? Therefore, the Or HaChaim gives in his second answer the same answer that the Ritva gives on that Gemara. The Ritva believes that the prohibition against having relationship during a famine year, it is an actual prohibition. It is not only a Midas Chasidus, it is not only a pious thing to do, it is actually prohibited from you to have relationship in a famine year. But, he says, it depends who has the famine. If the Jewish people are suffering and the Jewish people have famine, then you, as part of the Jewish people, are not allowed to have relationship during the famine year. But if the famine is not affecting Jewish people, is affecting the nations of the world, is affecting people around you, but you yourself are not affected and the Jewish people as a whole are not affected, then you do not have a prohibition against having relationship during a famine year. And therefore, Yosef HaTzadik knew that there is going to be a famine in the world, and he also did not know that his father has food. Yosef thought that the famine affecting Canaan is also affecting his father, or will affect his father. Therefore, Yosef knew that he should not have relations, because the Jewish people, the children of Yaakov, all the rest of his people are affected by famine. And when the Jews are affected by famine, you are not allowed to have relations. Therefore, he had relations before the famine came in. But Levi, since Levi knew that the Jewish people are not affected by famine, because at the time they came down to Egypt the first time, they still had food, as Rashi on chapter 42, Pasuk number 1, where Yaakov saw there is grain in Egypt, Vayomer Yaakov Levonov, Yaakov tells his children, Lamot Yisrael, why make yourself conspicuous? So Rashi explains, what does it mean, Lamot Yisrael? What did Yaakov mean by not making yourself conspicuous? Lamutaru Atzmachem, why display yourself in the front of the children of Ishmael and Esav, that your stomachs are full, that you are sated, you are satisfied? Ki bo'oysa shah, adayin l'oyolohem tvua, that at that point they still had produce. Basically, Rashi is saying that at the point when he sent them to Egypt to get food, Yaakov still was not affected by the famine. He still had food, but he wanted that the neighboring people should not think that he has food and get jealous of him and do something or come to get the food. Therefore, he sent his children to get food from Egypt, but at that point they were not yet affected by the famine. Comes out that since they still had produce and since they did not have famine in that time, so Levi could have relationship. Levi has no problem having relationship because there is no famine in the Jewish people. They still have food. True, the nations of the world don't have food, but because the nations of the world don't have food, that doesn't mean that you have restricted yourself from having relationship. If the Jewish people don't have food, are in a famine, then you're not allowed to have relations. But if the nations of the world don't have food, according to the Rachaim, according to the Ritva, we do not have to restrict ourselves from having relationships. Therefore, Yosef did not know the status of the brothers. He thought that the whole world is a famine. Therefore, Yosef could not have relations during the famine years. But the brothers knew that they had foods. True, they did not know the status of Yosef. But because of a single person, we do not have to keep from having relations. If a single person in the Jewish people does not have food, obviously, you're not required to refrain from having relations. Yes, you're required to pray to Hashem that he has food, and you're required to help him if it's in your hand to help him, but you're not required to abstain from relations. Therefore, according to the Rachaim and according to the Ritva, Levi was allowed to have relations during the famine year, because for him was not famine yet, because they still had food. The Dazaken Mibaal Tosfos brings in the name of Rabbi Yehuda Chosid an answer to this question, how come Levi was able to have relations and yet Yosef was not able to have relations. He brings down that only when you heard directly from a prophecy of Hashem, or like in our case where Paroi had the dreams and Yosef interpreted the dreams, then Yosef knew that this is the message clearly from Hashem. In that case, you are not allowed to have relations because you know the famine is definitely coming. But when you do not hear from a Navi, when you don't have previous notice of the incoming famine, then you are not required to refrain yourself from having a relationship. Therefore, Levi, since Levi did not know that the famine is about to come, then Levi could have relations during the famine year. The Maharal Guraria gives a little bit similar interpretation, and he uses the point not that it's a prophecy from Hashem, but only that if it is a set amount of time. And he explains like that, that when we know for sure how long the famine is going to last, or the famine has an exact amount of time, like in our case, 7 years, then we could tell a person to refrain from relationship during those 7 years. But when there is open-ended trouble, open-ended famine, then there is no way that we could tell a person not to have relations forever, because if we do that, then the world will cease to end. If it lasts longer than a lifetime, then if nobody has relations, then the world will end. So therefore, we cannot say for a person, when it's not a fixed amount of time, to abstain from relationship. That answers the question, how come in trouble in Mitzrayim, in Egypt, when the Jewish people were there, even though they were in trouble, even though they were enslaved and they were pained, how come they were able to have relations? Not only were they able to have relations, the Talmud actually says in the merit of the righteous women who encouraged the men to have relations, that's why we were redeemed, that the men had given up hope and the women encouraged them. And that's the only reason that we were redeemed, because they believed in the perpetuity, on the continuation of the Jewish people. But had it been for the men at that time, we would have not had relations. So we see that even though people are in trouble, but since we don't know when it's going to end, or maybe it will last a longer time, we see that we clearly are allowed to have relations. This idea, if you can't have relations, even though you have other tzores, other trouble besides famine, could be that is the machloikas between the Mechaber and the Rema in Shulchan Aruch Or HaChaim Simen Reish Mem Sif Yud Beis, where the Mechaber says also the Shamash Mitosoi Bishnei Ravoin, that you can't have relationship in years of famine, Elu Lechashuchei Banim, only for somebody who doesn't have any children, he is exempt from this rule, that he is entitled to have relations even in the years of famine. And we will see soon that this is going to be the opinion of the Mizrahi. The Rama says, Haga, v'hu adin b'shar tzoros shehem k'ravoin, that this is the same idea of other troubles that are like famine, that is technically the same idea, that you can't have relations when there is trouble for Jews. And if you take a look at the Shari Tzion on Simon Tov Kuf Ayin Dalet, Katan Ches, that Shari Tzion brings down, that since the Gemara words it as a person is forbidden to have relations in years of famine, it could be that the Gemara specifically means only in the years of famine. Because if the Gemara wanted to tell you when the Jewish people are in trouble, then we can't have relations, the Gemara could have said also l'adam l'shamash mitosoi bizman sheyisrael shruim betzar, when the Jewish people are in trouble, as the Gemara actually writes right afterwards that language regarding the punishment of a person that doesn't join in the pain of the tzibur, of the community. So since the Gemara specifically picks here that only in shnei batzoires, only in years of famine, could be that the Gemara means specifically to say that only in the years of famine we can't have relations. That is the only criteria that you're not allowed to have relations. But other trouble, other bad things happening to the Jewish people does not require you to refrain from having relations. And that could be the opinion of the Mechaber. The Mechaber only says the years of famine and does not include other trouble. And the Rama, since the reasoning behind it is that Jewish people are in trouble, then the Rama adds that it could apply to any other trouble. The Levush Oira asks a question on the Maharal, and he says, what does it mean that if you have a set amount of time, you are not required to have relations? First of all, we know that there is a mitzvah of Pru Urvu. Are you going to tell me that you could fulfill the mitzvah of Pru Urvu, be fruitful and multiply, after the years of famine? Who will tell you that you are going to live that long? Maybe you are not going to live that long and you won't fulfill the mitzvah of be fruitful and multiply. Just because it is a 7-year period and you could do the mitzvah after the 7 years, but who tells you that you are going to remain alive after 7 years? Do you have a contract with Hashem that you are going to stay alive for that period? We don't know how long we are going to stay alive. Therefore, what difference does it make if you have a set amount of time or you don't have a set amount of time? You are still allowed to have relations if you didn't have children yet. The Mizrahi says that you cannot ask a question, how come Levi had relationship during the year of the famine, because since Levi had not performed the mitzvah of pru urvu, be fruitful and multiply, the mitzvah to be fruitful and multiply requires you to have a boy and a girl, and since Levi did not have a girl, therefore he was exempt from the rule that you're not allowed to have relations during the year of famine, because you require to have the mitzvah but be fruitful and multiply, pushes away that idea that you're not allowed to have relationship during the years of famine. The Maharal in Gurarya asks a question, if it is true that if you did not perform the mitzvah of pru urvu, of be fruitful and multiply, then you are still allowed to have relations during famine years, how come Yosef HaTzadik did not have relations during famine years? Yosef HaTzadik only had 2 sons, and in order to fulfill the mitzvah of be fruitful and multiply, you require to have a son and a daughter. And since he didn't have a daughter, theoretically he should still be able to have relations during the famine years, because you require to have a daughter. In the same way that you give the excuse for Levi of having relations during the famine years, even though he already had a son, because he is required to have a daughter in order to fulfill the mitzvah of pru urvu, of be fruitful and multiply, then how come Yosef HaTzadik did not have relations during the famine years in order to fulfill the mitzvah of be fruitful and multiply? Are you going to tell me that Yosef HaTzadik had a daughter? That cannot be true, because if Yosef HaTzadik had a daughter, then it comes out that 71 souls came down to Egypt, not 70 souls. As we mentioned before, there were 66 people coming down to Egypt, and 4 people were already in Egypt. The 4 people were Yosef, his wife Osnas, and the 2 sons, Menashe and Ephraim. Now, if you tell me that he had a daughter, so obviously there were 71, and we know that the Torah writes down clearly there is only 70 people or 70 souls that came down with this supposition of the Gurarya, that maybe Yosef had a daughter, and his question, how come it's not mentioned, is actually brought down as a fact by the Iyun Yaakov on the Gemara in Tainus, where the Iyun Yaakov brings the Rashi, which Rashi is quoting from the Medrash, on chapter 44, Pasuk number 19, there Rashi says, Adoni Shoal es Avodov, where Yehuda is complaining to Yosef that Yosef originally came with false charges. Rashi says, Lomo hoyechol ishoil kolela, why did you ask all these things? Bitchoyinu mevakshim? Did we ask for your daughter? Why are you checking on our family? Did we ask for our daughter? You want to marry our sisters? In other words, the brother are accusing Yosef of originally trying to set him up by asking all these questions. Normally, somebody comes to buy food, all you do is sell food. Here you ask the question about our father. The only reason that you would want to ask a question about our father is if you wanted to marry your daughter. And since we don't want to marry your daughter, therefore, must be that you originally wanted already to make false accusations against us. So Sefer Iyun Yaakov deduces from the question of the Medrash, do you want to marry our daughter, must be that he had a daughter. Because if he wouldn't have a daughter, they would not ask a question, did we want to marry your daughter? So obviously, must be that he actually had a daughter. Then if Yosef had a daughter, now the Gurarya's question becomes stronger. We know that only 70 souls came down to Egypt and not 71. And if Yosef had a daughter, then it would be 71. The Levush Oire says that this is not a question, that could be that he had a daughter, and the daughter died before Yaakov Avinu came down to Egypt. Could be when the famine year started, he had a daughter, and since he had a daughter, he wasn't allowed to have relations during the famine years. And right before Yaakov came down to Egypt, that daughter died. The Dazakenim also agrees with the idea that it makes a difference if you are Mekayim Pruvu or not Mekayim Pruvu, if you already fulfilled the mitzvah of be fruitful or multiply, or you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah of be fruitful or multiply. And he is also bothered by the question that if Levi was able to have relationship during the famine years because he did not fulfill the mitzvah, be fruitful and multiply, because he did not have a daughter, then how come Yosef HaTzadik was not able to have relations during the famine year since he didn't have a daughter? And he answers that the machloikis between Levi and Yosef is based on the Gemara in Yevamos, Daf Samach Aleph 61b, where there the Gemara brings the two opinions on how we'll fulfill the mitzvah of be fruitful and multiply. The Beis Hillel hold that you'll fulfill the mitzvah be fruitful and multiply by having a son and a daughter. But the Beis Shammai hold that you fulfill the mitzvah of be fruitful and multiply by having two sons. Therefore, the Dazakenim explains that this is the two opinions between Yosef and Levi. Yosef held like the Beis Shammai that once you have two sons, you already fulfill the mitzvah of be fruitful and multiply. Therefore, he is not allowed to have relations during famine years. But Levi held like the Beis Hillel that in order to fulfill the mitzvah of be fruitful and multiply, you're required to have a son and a daughter. Since he only had sons and he didn't have a daughter, he was allowed to have relations during famine years in order to fulfill the obligation of be fruitful and multiply. The Beis Yosef in Siman Tov Kof Ayin Dalet 574 brings the Mizrahi that this idea that if you have not fulfilled the mitzvah of Pururvu, then you are allowed to have relations during famine years. But if you fulfill the mitzvah of Pururvu, then you are not allowed to have relations during famine years. He asks a very strong question. The Pasuk says that Yosef had two children before the years of famine came. And from there we learn that if the years of famine had come, he couldn't have children. You're not allowed to have relations, because the Torah is emphasizing that he had these two children only before the years of famine came. But he asks, according to what we just mentioned, that a person who has not fulfilled the mitzvah of Pruvu, be fruitful, multiply, is allowed to have relations during the famine years, then Yosef could have had his two children even during the famine years. Why does the Torah emphasize that he only had two children before the famine years, even if it would be the famine years, since he had no other children? And we just mentioned that if you did not perform the mitzvah of Pruvu, let it be two boys or a boy and a girl, then you're allowed to have relations during famine years, then Yosef could have had relations with his wife Asnas even during the famine years. Then how can we learn from Yosef that it is important not to have relations during the famine years? The Bach and Simon Tovkov Ein Dalet answers the question of the Beis Yosef, and he says that true, before Torah was given, it was not obligated for people to refrain from relationship. The only thing that we are obligated were the seven Noahide laws. Even according to the Ramban says that the Avos kept Torah, but they only kept Torah in Eretz Yisrael, and Yosef was in Mitzrayim. So Yosef was definitely not obligated to keep Torah. So obviously what Yosef did was Midas Chasidus, was something special that a pious person should do. But the Bach says, from the fact that the Torah decided to write this Midas Chasidus down, that Yosef specifically did it before the years of famine, therefore the Torah wants to teach you that this Minak Chasidus that Yosef did should apply afterwards to those who already have children. That if you already have children, then you are not allowed to have relationship during the years of famine. That since the Torah made it a point to say that what happened to Yosef, that Yosef acted this way, even when he was not obligated, and the Torah decides to write this. So the Torah wants to teach us a lesson that even after the Torah was given, that this lesson should apply to us, that we're not allowed to have relations in years of famine. In other words, the Bach is saying, true, that the Beis Yosef is right, that Yosef could have had those children even in the years of famine, because since he hasn't fulfilled Pur Revu, he wasn't fruitful and multiply, he could have had his children even in the years of famine. But from the fact that Yosef had these children specifically before the years of famine, and Yosef did something that he was not obligated, because since it's not part of the seven Noahide laws, and the Torah decides to write what Yosef did even afterwards, so the Torah wants to emphasize that what Yosef did, that he didn't have relations during the years of famine, should apply to anybody that didn't have children yet. I wanted to say that the way that Yosef acted and the way that Levi acted is consistent with the previous machloikas, if they have the law of a ben Noach or they have the law of a Jew. That before the Torah is given, you have the law of a Noahite or the law of a Jew. On Parshas Vayeshev, we mentioned that Yosef disagreed with his brother regarding a mefar chesed, regarding animal that was shechted, that was slaughtered, and still was convulsing. If the law of a limb of a living animal still applies before all movement have ceased, or only after all movements have ceased, Yosef held they have the law of a Noahite, and they are not allowed to eat until all movement have ceased. And the brothers held that they have the law of a Jew, once they shechted, they are allowed to have. We could say that this is what is going on now, that Yosef acted in this way because he believed he's a Noahite, and Levi acted his way because he believed he has the law of a Jew. Like the Bach says, before the Torah was given, there was only the seven Noahide law. Therefore, Yosef is not mechuyev, is not obligated in the mitzvah of Pru Urvu, in the mitzvah of be fruitful and multiply. Since he's not obligated in the mitzvah of be fruitful and multiply, Yosef thought that since it's a year of famine, and it is only sensible and it's only proper for me not to have pleasure when my people are in pain, when there is famine in the world, I should not go ahead and have pleasures. Are you telling me that the mitzvah of be fruitful and multiply supersedes? Yosef believed that since he is a ben Noach, I'm not obligated in be fruitful and multiply, but that sensitivity that I'm not allowed to have relations when my people are in trouble still applies. But Levi believed that they have the law of a Jew, and specifically Levi was in Eretz Yisrael. According to the Ramban, when the Avos, when our forefathers were in Eretz Yisrael, they were required to keep the mitzvahs of the Torah. Then Levi believed that he's required to keep the mitzvah of Pru Urvu, so the mitzvah of Pru Urvu overrides any sensitivity that you may have because the Jewish people are in trouble. That since I have a positive obligation to have children, I have to have a boy and a girl. Unless I have a boy and a girl, I did not fulfill the mitzvah of Pru Urvu. And that, Levi believed, supersedes any obligation or any moral thing that I'm required to have because my people are in pain. So Levi was allowed to have children, and Levi was allowed to have relations. But Yosef, since Yosef believes a Noahite and the mitzvah of Pru Urvu does not apply, therefore he made a point to have his children before the famine came. And Hashem Yisburach should help that this halach in Shulchan Aruch, that if you can have relations during famine or during trouble, or cannot have relations during famine or during trouble, should be avoided, because Hashem should send Moshiach Tzidkenu b'imhero b'yomeinu, the Beis Hamikdash should be rebuilt, there should be Shalom al Israel, all Jews should see only plenty, prosperity, b'imhero b'yomeinu, Amen.